Today's episode of Talkin' Talker is brought to you by FultonAndRoark.com. That's FultonAndRoark.com.
Enter code TALKER at checkout to save 20% on your order. Fulton & Roark makes men's grooming products for the way men operate. We got bricks of soap, which will last a month. We've got solid cologne, which will make even DC smell great. And we've got avocado and tea tree oil facial wash, which will hopefully wash whatever happens in Mexico off of Dennis. So with that said, please support the show. Make yourself smell great at the same time. And today we've got an incredibly special guest. Let's get on with it.
Welcome to the Talk and Talker podcast with Nick Swimmer and Dennis Rodriguez.
And a special guest tonight. You guys are not going to believe this guest when he calls in. We are super excited. He's a big deal.
He's fighting, was it January 20th?
Yep. This guest is going to shed a lot of insight.
Yeah, so we're really excited.
It's going to be a big change for us. It really changes the dynamic. Apologize last week. Last week we didn't have a pod, so it should be episode 17. Wait, but instead it's episode 16 today?
Yes, because I don't think we
recorded. Last week, someone was too tired from training too hard. But this week Dennis is feeling better,
yeah.
And so we're good to go.
Yes, no falling, no concussions, nothing.
Nope, so we got a lot to go over. We've got UFC 218.
McGregor.
We've got some mob stories from the week before.
Sons of Anarchy in real life.
Before our guest joins us, I guess let's go over the mob story. So that was crazy. So what was it? Last week there was a rumor all of a sudden that Connor had knocked out a mob hitman's father and was on the lam before he might have to flee Ireland because there was a 900,000-pound bounty out on his head. Which seemed crazy, and it seemed every single part of it seemed comical. And then all of a sudden, I guess they have pretty good anti-defamation laws in Ireland. So then, you know, all of a sudden, the reputable newspapers are coming out with a celebrity athlete has been involved. So it sounds like he did get in a fight in a bar, defending a friend of his.
Yeah.
Or it sounds like potentially a friend of his, who was at his house, and some other guys came over to beat him up. He called Connor. Connor went over there, beat up the other two guys, and they went to a bar, and something happened, and Connor beat someone else up. And then, but the rumor was that he accidentally. All that's a rumor. Obviously, we're not in Ireland. We have no idea. But that part all seems to be semi-confirmed on social media and newspapers, which is crazy in and of itself. But apparently, the part about him then whacking a known mobster, wild man's father accidentally during the melee may not be true, but it was weird. I think it was like the hitman's daughter was tweeting, you wake up to hear Connor's off his head in a pub and smacks your dad in the face or something. But then she said none of that ever happened. She just, a bunch of her friends were calling her, freaking out, giving her false things, so she just reacted to it. Apparently Connor's dad said everything's all good. Connor went to court, apparently a few hours late, to pay a parking ticket because he was delayed because he was at home taking selfies of himself in his new tracksuit, which seems to be a...
Was a nice tracksuit, though.
Yeah, I mean, the tracksuit seems to be a hit over there. And then apparently on the way out, he said, come and get me, which I think they said he was basically talking to the reporters, like, if you want to talk to me, come and get me. But then everyone thought they turned it into, oh, he's challenging the mobs to come get him. I don't know if it's the mob, whatever it is, the drug cartels, or sounds like some gnarly shit over there. Like, you definitely don't want to get in the wrong things. Actually, there was a show, Love Hate, back in the day when we sponsored Connor. He turned us on to that show, Love Hate, and I watched like the first three seasons on Amazon Video, and then it was getting really fucking good. And then apparently, for whatever reason, you can't watch season 4 or 5, and there might even be a 6. Amazon Video just stopped after 3 seasons. Oh,
who is this?
We might have a guest. You guys are ready. This is This is unbelievable. We have a guest. We are live, and we have a guest calling in. This is not just an average guest. This is a world champion.
You guys are idiots. Shut up.
This guy is so hard to get. I mean, Dennis has been working tirelessly for 2 weeks to get this guest on the show.
You guys are assholes. I can't find my computer. I think my house cleaners moved it.
Yeah. Well.
Nick just said he'll get you another one.
This computer, so this laptop, this has been, at one point it was left in the trunk of a car that is, his wife had a little fender bender, and that got taken to the shop, so we didn't have access to the computer that time.
It wasn't locked. I just had put it, it was in the car, I don't know where I was going, and it was in the bag. Remember I did the show one time from Los Angeles. So it was in the bag.
The bag.
My bag that I took there. And then my wife got, like, her car was messed up, so I had to get it fixed. So, yeah, whatever. You guys ready to start?
We're starting already. This is it. We're going. We've already done the intro. We've been talking about Connor and the mob. And now we've been waiting for our guest to come on. Dennis brought Coronas today for the show, so we are we are hyped up. We got 36 hours till Mexico.
Oh my goodness, you guys did this without me.
Yeah, Dennis said we got to start pickling our livers before we get going, so we're good.
It's actually so I'm so proud of you.
We thought about this last week, but we were worried that after 5 or 6 minutes we'd have nothing to talk about. So we yeah. Now we got. There is one funny story about last week. I think we just got to set the record straight for everyone. So last week, Dennis and I have been racking our brains, and we still can't figure this one out. So last week, DC's in camp. So during camp, he gets very tired because he's got trained multiple times a day, and we'd be knocked out too. So we got here. And he called, and Dennis and I only live, which DC pointed out to us, 5 minutes from the studio. So we got here and he said, "Hey guys, I'm really tired. Can we just do this a different day?" And then we said, "Okay." And he goes, "Cause you guys, it's easy for you guys because you only live 5 minutes from the studio." And so I thought for a second, that makes sense. Yeah, you're right. My bad. Like, we're so close to the studio and you're so far away. So we agreed not to do it. And then Dennis looked at me and he said, "Hey, so we're 5 minutes away from the studio, but DC calls in. His commute is actually shorter. All he's got to do is dial 10 numbers."
I was tired, man. Like, even if I would have done this, I was like, my thoughts aren't clear. I'm exhausted. Like, that first week, the first few weeks actually are always the hardest. And right now I'm just coming back from Winterfest at Six Flags. So it's like all day I've been kind of doing that.
Where's that? In Vallejo?
No, it's the one in San Jose.
Great America. Nice.
Yeah, so I went there and they turned that place into a it's like a winter wonderland. It's beautiful. It's really, really beautiful.
My
kids went and they got on the skates and we rode a couple rides, took some pictures, and they have a, it's called the North Pole Postal Service. So we went and we sent their letters to Santa off.
Nice. What'd you ask for?
I didn't ask for anything. The kids, they wrote their own letters in their own handwriting.
Well, were they,
put them in some envelopes, yeah, and then we went and took them to, took them and sent them off to Santa.
Do they have a way where the parents get a copy so they know, just in case Santa's not real, the parents know what to get, or...
Oh no! We asked. Yeah, we definitely asked and took pictures.
Nice.
Before we took them, we took pictures of the list to make sure that whatever they asked for. Santa gets my daughter asked for some stuff, man. She wants a trampoline and instruments, and a coffee mug for her mom, and she had a weird little list, and she wrote like a book. Her list was an actual book.
Wow.
So. All right, so big business we got to get to is UFC 218 last night was amazing.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was
that's two cards in a row, or I don't know how many cards there have been in between, but that's two good cards recently.
Yeah, two pay-per-views back-to-back because 217 was just nuts, and then 218 was last night. And that was crazy, man. I mean, from the Yancy Medeiros, Caldwell Olivera fight, which was madness – on the prelims all the way to Max versus Jose, which was really good. But the fight I want to talk about is
Cejudo Pettis.
No, Cejudo versus Pettis. Look, you know what's crazy is that for me, that's not all bad. You know, like you guys might be like, "Oh, that was so terrible."
No, it wasn't bad. It was just the fights that was sandwiched between made it like impossible for them to. That's where they gotta wake up and they gotta get online and be like, "Oh, let me see what everyone says about my fight." And then they probably are like, "Did I even fight last night?" Because
no, you don't hear about it.
Yeah,
people are talking too much about Eddie Alvarez and Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, that was.
I thought Alvarez was. I wasn't sure if Alvarez could actually turn back the clock like he did last weekend. I did not think he could turn the clock back like that.
Yeah.
After what Conor did to him, man, that shit was bad. Like every time Conor hit him, it looked like maybe his chin was gone. But he took some shots last night.
I think with him, it's like it looked like his leg was gone. It looked like his chin was gone. It looked like some of his teeth were gone. But it doesn't matter. Like he just keeps, just fucking keeps going. And also, the longer the fight goes, the longer his arms get. Like he would like, he would like uncoil his arms for these uppercuts, and it was like, dude, his arms were. It was weird because I don't know how do you pronounce Gaethje's? Is it Gaethje?
Gaethje. Justin Gaethje.
He like has these tight little punches, right, where he's almost like his triceps are touching his chest when he throws them, and then
he throws nice and tight.
And then you got Alvarez nice who just tight. Like literally like it was crazy like how far away he could throw an uppercut from.
It's because he was putting everything on those uppercuts. Yeah. He was trying to get him out of there. You know, he was.
I thought his leg though. I mean, in the beginning, you're like, oh, dude, his leg is. Because I had never seen Gaethje fight. I just heard he was like, you know, the master of violence. And he came out. I had him confused. I don't know who I had him confused with, but I thought he was someone different. I thought he was like stockier, and I thought he was predominantly a wrestler. And then he came in, and I was like, wait, this guy's not what I had in mind. He's not all ripped. And then he just went, he started out so fast with those kicks, the punches. And I'm like, this guy's awesome.
He's nasty, dude. And he is a wrestler, right? That's the crazy thing is like Justin Gaethje did something that most guys can't do. Like he went and he made All American at the University of Northern Colorado, which is not a traditionally.
It's a meat slaughter capital of it's in Greeley.
But it's not like they don't know. It's not known for wrestling.
No.
And he became an NCAA All American out of that university. So that shows you what type of athlete and what type of commitment he makes to being successful. But when he started fighting, he just kind of said to hell with it. You know, he wasn't going to fight like a traditional wrestler, and he developed a style that's fun to watch, but also it's also very if you're one of his coaches or friends, it's concerning if you ask me because he takes so much damage every time he fights.
Yeah, I was reading something about
every time.
They were telling him like he leads with his forehead, so he takes a lot of punishment on his forehead. And I thought he was going to say it was like one of those headlines you click on, like he explains why he leads with his forehead or takes hits on his forehead. I thought he was going to say like, oh, it's the strongest part of my head, and like it doesn't affect your brain or something. But instead, he just said, "Yeah, no, I think when I take a really good shot, it means I'm about to give another really good shot."
He takes one to give one.
But no, he was both those guys were. I mean, Alvarez's leg, it literally was like. There was a couple times where you're kind of like looking through your fingers because you're like, dude, he's going to get kicked one time and his leg's just going to bend 90 degrees sideways. And then both of them, after a while, I was watching it with Millar, and he's like, I can't watch this because it just felt like any second either one of them was just going to get their head knocked off. Like it was. And then then we were sitting there thinking about like, how long is it going to take to recover from this shit? This is crazy.
Oh, it'll take him a little bit. Now, thing about this is though, Justin was kicking Eddie like, I mean, he was kicking him so much, and it looked like towards the end of the, fight, it was really starting to pay dividends because I thought Eddie was up 2-0 when they went to round 3, but I was like, man, Justin may stop him with leg kicks because he's done that on a number of occasions already.
Yeah.
But
there was a time when, so in the beginning, it looked like Eddie's leg was, you know, went from it was hurting, it was like bending weird every time it got kicked. And then there was a point in the second round where it almost looked like he just kind of stamped his foot on the ground and said, "All right, it fucking hurts, but it is what it is. I'm not going to worry about it for a while." Maybe it was because Gaethje stopped kicking it for a while. And then all of a sudden at the end, it's like it went back to like, okay, I can't hide this anymore. This really hurts. And then he had the weird thing on his face, which they didn't show a replay of what happened. Like how he got that knot. All you heard was Joe Rogan saying, "Oh, wow, he's got a weird swelling on his face," but you couldn't see it from the camera. It was on the other side. And then he turned around and it was like his teeth must, I mean, it must have been his teeth or something must have been fucked up.
It looked like it could have, his jaw was broken, right? It looked like his jaw was broken, but.
Yeah.
I read a report today that said it wasn't. You know, he wasn't. His jaw was not broken. He's gonna be fine, and he's just obviously gonna need some time.
Yeah,
time that he would have needed anyway when you fight a fight like that. But then after Gaethje Alvarez, we get to the co-main event: Francis Ngannou versus Alistair Overeem.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that? What the fuck, man?
That was nuts. Like, I'd never seen Ngannou fight before. And,
that was like a Street Fighter.
Yeah, uppercut. I went to say that. I was like, God, like, oh, he's huge. Oh, you know what? And the first I was like, told Margo, Overeem's about the same size, except for his head's like dinky. And then Mar's like, no, dude, the other guy's way bigger. And he was way bigger. They shifted
so
to another
thicker,
angle, and it was like, holy shit, that guy is huge. And he's so, like, ripped for that size. So that was, yeah, and then it was just, I mean, I don't even know how to describe that punch. I was just, I mean, it was one of the few times where they kept saying, Alistair's, Overeem's still down and his toes are still curled up and he's still stiff as a board. And it was like, dude, is he dying? Like it started to freak you out.
Like Francis hit him so hard, dog. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean, I was like,
what the hell? Bro, it was, you know what the problem was? It was like, you look at Alistair Overeem, right? And Alistair Overeem is a big guy, massive guy. But when he got in there with Ngannou, he looked kind of slim and skinny. And he never looks skinny compared to people.
But he always looks, Overeem's head always makes it real. You realize he's a certain size, and then everything except his head became a different size. Whereas Ngannou is like just...
Through and through.
Gigantic. But the punch was like, remember when Pico knocked the guy out the other day, where it was just like a really low left hand, but like Pico, you know, 155er, knocked the guy out, it was a fast little punch. Like, what happened? This one just seemed like, I mean, you never see a guy on his tippy toes leaning backwards with his head, like the back of his head touching like the middle of his back after getting punched. That was crazy.
Bro, I would say that I was like, man, I was telling that to Kane today, I was like, this dude, I was like, can you imagine how badly his neck is gonna fucking hurt?
Oh my
because
God.
Like, how often,
dude?
Have you seen somebody's head move that fast?
When he swallows food, it's like his throat's gotta have
so
like a
fast,
curve
man.
In it or something, or a it's like a bent tube or
your
something.
Neck. Like it looked like you would imagine someone head whips whenever they're in like a car accident.
Yeah, and then it slammed on the ground, another one. So he's out, then his head bounced off the mat, and then Ngannou jumps on top of him and gives him, like, the Dan Henderson punch, and it was like...
I think, like, that happens now. I've gotten to ask that today, like, why Francis hit him that last time, and I think that happens because, dude, your momentum is just rolling, right?
Yeah.
Your momentum's going, you know, so there's no just, like, turn it off, right, when you see a guy hurt. And for a big, massive mug like that, man, that dude trying to... You know he's trying to hurt you, man, you know? And he hit him with that uppercut and Overeem fell and his entire body was just shut off. He had all of his senses was gone.
Yeah. And then today he's like, hey guys, happy to report I'm fine, no damage, nothing different, just a tough fight, I'll go back to the gym. It's like, dude, there's gotta be something wrong. What did that so you were talking to Kane about it, like how do you like guys in that division, I mean, was Kane just like, well, you're like, holy shit, did you see that fucking knockout? And Kane was like, that wouldn't happen
Kane's
to me.
Like, Kane's like, yeah, I didn't really watch it. I saw like the highlights on social media. And he's like, he fucking hits hard. He's fast.
Because he was supposed to. They were,
he hits hard and he's strong.
They were going to potentially fight at some point, right, before?
Well, that guy called him out. And Ngannou called him out a little bit, but it never came to fruition. He's like, you know, he still is just kind of saying, like, you know, there's still things that you have not seen yet. But he goes, he admits, he goes, he's hard. He hits hard. He's fast.
Yeah.
He goes, he looks strong as hell, you know? So.
That's a weird mindset to me. Is like, cause everyone there, you guys all see it as like, that guy's a fucking beast and he hits like a ton of bricks. That'll be a fun challenge. I'm going to get in the gym and start training. Like, whereas the rest of us are like, thank fucking God that's never going to happen to us.
So I love Francis Ngannou. I've always been a big advocate of his from the moment he started. My whole thing is this, though. When I think about Stipe Miocic, right? Stipe Miocic, he's fine. He's fine. He's like, okay, I get that there's some danger in this fight, but I feel like I can win this fight for a number of reasons. And the matchups, you know, it's going to be tough, but I'm excited about it.
And he's going to make more pay-per-view.
Why do I know that?
Yeah,
because I was dealing with the same thing when Anthony Johnson was knocking everybody out.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember, Anthony Johnson knocked out Glover Teixeira in 13 seconds, broke his tooth, all that. I thought, you know, it'll be tough. He's a, he's tough. He hits hard. He's fast. But I need to go to building a game plan to actually beat that. And it doesn't scare you. You know, it just makes you more committed to the goal. And it's very exciting for a competitor. So when I think about it, I think about Stipe Miocic. Man, Stipe is probably going, I'm excited for this challenge, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to
Francis
it.
Is nasty, man.
I mean, I can relate to it. In the garage today, I was like, you know what? I could deal with that fucking 45-pound dumbbell right now, but I'm not going to. I'm gonna deal with this 25-er, but I'm not afraid of that 45-er.
I thought you were saying you're going to get a bigger bob.
Yeah, I'm going to get a bigger bob. But Miocic, I mean, I guess in theory, right, he's got to be happy in a way, because that should generate a lot of interest in their next fight. And so his pay-per-view money should you know, you always want to have a foe that's people want to tune in to see.
I think with that knockout like that, I think it excites people enough to know that people will tune in to watch Ngannou, because it was everywhere, right? Sports, yeah. And Fox Sports 1.
No, I mean, it was one of the like biggest, like, holy shit moments that you can remember. I mean, it was just, but then what was crazy was, and I don't know, like, he gets on the mic, he gets on the mic afterwards, and he basically says, you know, hey guys, fuck racism and fuck slavery, which you thought, oh, this is going to lead to a rousing ovation, and it was just crickets. And I was like, I turned to Valar, I go, this is fucking, this, wait, how did nobody in the arena start clapping or cheering or going, yeah, we're with you? I felt so uncomfortable. I was like,
that's because he barely speaks English, right? So
no, but it was pretty obvious what he was saying, and literally you figured like he would get a big cheer, yeah, or a rousing ovation. It was just like,
so okay. we hear it through the TV, but inside the arena it's a little bit different.
Okay, so it was louder.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, but hey, last year this dude didn't even speak any English, not a lick of English. So he's really taken to like trying to round his game out, not only in the fighting, but also on the mic, because now he can actually hold conversation.
Yeah.
He couldn't even hold a conversation before, man.
No, he seemed likable. I just thought to myself, like, what is going, like, how do you not cheer what he just said? Like, this doesn't seem like anything where anyone would just not be like, what a great use of your platform, let's give him a hand. But instead it was like just Detroit silence. It was
sometimes it just like translates different from TV to the actual arena.
Yeah,
but you never know. So he puts on this like life-changing performance. He immediately gets rewarded a title shot. How do you think a fight between him and Miocic goes?
By Joe Rogan, too, which is the best part. Joe Rogan's like, no, absolutely. I am giving you, you are absolutely getting a title shot. I was like, wait, if it should just always be like this. We'd have 14 guys getting a title shot every week.
Because Joe loves him, man. He still loves the game. After all this time, this dude is still in love with MMA.
Yeah, he gets so excited. You can tell he's just genuinely excited at times. He's not like, he's not going through the motions at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, You know, it changes so fast, right? You'll have a guy who looks like, because we also, we didn't see that much. We just basically saw one, you know, if he was, in theory, right before he threw the punch, open to receive a punch. So it wasn't like he was, like, perfect. I mean, as hard as that is to say. So he's obviously hittable, but then again, if you hit him, it might not matter as long as he hits back. But as always, that's what MMA is so great. You always see these guys that seem unbeatable, and then someone will come in with a slightly different game plan, and you'll realize, huh, if you do that to him, he's, you know, he can't get comfortable, and this doesn't happen. So it's always
this dude. It's amazing. This dude, Francis Ngannou, actually pulled his head back to avoid the punch and then re-threw that punch. So
yeah,
he's so fast, man. Like, for a big guy like that, like, how fast is this dude?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But it's exciting that it's exciting. You know, you want that, like, one punch knockout guy that you just tune in for, and
that's what you need from your heavyweight, right? Yeah. When you think of the heavyweight champ, you want him to be a bad motherfucker. You want him to be like a real bad motherfucker, you know? And he has that. Yeah. He seems like a bad, bad dude.
Yeah. I want you to be the heavyweight champ. What the hell? I mean, you've never...
when I see these guys, the greatest thing, like, holy shit, how did I even fight these dudes?
Yeah.
They're so big. You know what I mean? They're so big now and thick and strong and fast.
I want to see you twirling Ngannou over your head, like spinning him around and then just
like Barnett.
And then dump him down.
That would be crazy. Look how big he is, man. Like, fuck. I really want to go in there and fight that dude.
You'd pick him up over your head and his foot would still be on the ground. But no, and then what was crazy was Holloway. So then Holloway comes up next. And I was watching that, so I was torn because I've always loved Aldo and I've always really liked Holloway, and like Aldo, you know, we sponsored him for a long time for Dethrone, and I always hate when the guys from one stage of MMA get to the end of their career and it's like it bugs me that like there's a lot of people that don't know how great they really were, right? So with Aldo, it's kind of like you feel like, man, it's just, and it always happens as some evolution where. But it's just not fair in a way that it's like he doesn't get the respect that he deserves, I don't think. But then, and you're thinking, oh, he's in great shape, and oh, he's going for it. And then Holloway just seems like so mellow and relaxed, and like, and I was sitting there thinking, well, you forget, like, oh, well, how's Holloway going to, I could see how, I mean, Aldo maybe will connect with one of these punches. It was disappointing because it always sucks when you're, I wasn't rooting for either one, but when you're watching a guy and you know he's getting tired and you know, like, you know what, this fight's going to change. This fight's going to change because he's getting so tired. Like, I'm going to get robbed of what I should get because he's just getting tired. But then Holloway was just weird how he just chilled out for a round. Let him tire
himself
out.
He doesn't stop, bro. He's in great shape.
And he's got more pop in his punches than it seems like, you know, because I always thought, well, he doesn't have that much pop in his punches. He's going to have to, but they just accumulate them, but.
The accumulation of punches, and also like he's hitting you hard, right? But it doesn't come with a lot of effort. And I think that's why people don't think that he's throwing it hard, because he does it so effortless.
Yeah.
He's throwing hard. He's knocking mugs out. Like, he's hurt Jose Aldo bad on a couple of occasions, but
even those jabs were hurting him. I mean, you start at a point where you thought Holloway hasn't done anything, and all of a sudden Aldo's got like a little mouse under his eye, and you're like, dude. And then it starts, and then you think like, oh, that must have been some weird thing, but then it just starts growing and growing, and it's just, but he's so, he was just so, it's that weird, it's like almost like becoming champion just gave some guys, it feels like, seems like they feel a little bit of pressure or expectation, whereas with him it felt like now he's 100% comfortable in his own skin. He's like, I always knew I was a champion, and now I am the champion, and now I'm just gonna relax and do my thing. It was crazy. Like,
you know, he did a couple things that was awesome, was because he drew Jose into a firefight knowing that Jose would get tired, right? So he caused him to start fighting in exchanging, knowing that at the end of the day, Jose would tire before he would. And I just believe that ultimately that was probably one of the deciding factors, was just that Aldo started to gas, and he only started to gas because Holloway made him fight away, you know, in a way that he's not used to fighting.
Yeah. One thing that disappoints me about Aldo is when he was young, you always heard how his jiu-jitsu was like really, really good. Not just like a striker that has pretty good jiu-jitsu. Like arguably his jiu-jitsu is better than his striking, but we never got to see that. Like he's never, it's been a long time since he's done, he's gone to the ground or done any of that stuff. And maybe, it's, I mean, maybe.
Well, he's always kind of used his wrestling in reverse, right? So when guys are trying to take him down, they never could take him down. Yeah. And he was just so good on the feet that nobody could really go with him. But now, and Max Holloway, he's like a nightmare matchup for him. You know, he's real big, real long, and in great shape.
Yeah. You know, it seems like the older guys, it always happens, and it doesn't seem to, but they're not all the same. But it feels like whenever there's like that passing of the guard from one generation to the next, it always feels like the new guy is just smoother in how he like flows everything together. But then,
well, that's
it's
true
weird.
Because the game just continues to evolve.
Yeah, but
right?
It's weird how Aldo at one point was the smooth guy who connected all these things and put it all together, and then he gets to a certain point, and then Holloway comes along, and he's even smoother. It's weird. It's weird how like you can be the guy that flowed better than the last generation, and all of a sudden some guy comes along and he's got it, he can put it all together better than you. What a weird sport.
It's a weird, great sport.
Yeah. No, it is a
great sport.
Great sport to watch.
So what did you think of Conor McGregor putting that picture up and said, it was a picture of Max in the wheelchair after he lost to Conor.
I think
Conor wrote, dang, I miss those glasses. That's what he said. Dang, I miss those glasses. So I was thinking he was talking about like the mouse is over Max's eyes. But when you look closely, Connor's in the background wearing black shades. You know, you just got to really look closely though. So he's really like McGregor, like approaches you tactically in mental warfare on a completely different level. Than most fighters, right?
Yeah, I think that Max has actually done it perfectly, and I could see that it could get under Conor's skin because for one, well, they fought before, but Max was like 12 years old, and right, and neither of them was at 100%, and it was a tough fight. I mean, Conor obviously had the knee injury, but you know it was a good fight, but Max was on his way up, and since then he's done everything right, and then even better when he got the. So when he got the belt and they'd ask him about Conor, he wasn't like everyone else that said, you know, Conor, I want to fight Conor. Max was like, I don't give a shit about Conor. He was the champion, what, 2 years ago? Like, this is 20, I don't even know what the years were, right? He's like, this is 2016 or 2015. That guy hasn't fought in my division since 2014. But in the beginning, it was kind of like, whatever, right? Because Conor was fresh off it and everyone kind of saw him as the featherweight champ. But because of what Holloway's done since then and how he fights, I think there's a part of Conor probably watching that last night going, you know what? There's a lot of people that don't give a shit that I was that champion. They see Max now as the legitimate featherweight champion. And then it's also MMA. Time just goes by. So I would bet you a lot of people watching that fight last night no longer even know that Conor vacated that title or care. They're just like, oh, Max is a beast. He's the 145 champ. Conor, what? He's the 55 champ, right? He beat Eddie Alvarez or he boxes. A lot of people probably think Conor's a boxer. So I bet you, I would think that on some level, his competitive fire would think like, maybe that's a worthy opponent. But I also think that Conor probably, I think he's even said it publicly, like respects Max, respects the way he fights, kind of like admires that, you know, how he fights on some level. So I could either picture him wanting to fight him or just being like, no, that guy's, you know, he would never say it with a camera on, but I could picture him without a camera on being like, oh, I like that guy. He's good. He does everything the right way, blah, blah, blah.
I think it just shows you like some of the big wins that Conor has. I mean, back then people just kind of shit on Conor, but saying he was getting favorable matchups. But I mean,
yeah, the Alvarez
one. Do
we ever
think that Max Holloway would be considered a favorable matchup? That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Alvarez even, you know, that was like kind of, I fell victim a little bit to thinking like, well, Conor got to fight for the lightweight title against a guy who was probably the least likely lightweight champion there's been in the last 10 years. But, you know, then you look and it's like putting Eddie Alvarez away is not easy. So obviously Conor hitting you is just different than other people hitting you. But Max, I think, would be interesting. because he, I don't think he would give a shit about anything Connor said. So I don't think he'd get under his skin. He seems pretty elusive, and he's pretty.
And he's tough enough to take the beating and stay in there.
Yeah, and he's pretty long. And Max, I think in the beginning of his career, you just underestimated him because he was so wiry. You know, he kind of had that like skinny badass look, but
he's filled up now.
But you don't think of him as like just that tough because it's just his. I don't know. I guess because his facial features are like narrower. You know, it just doesn't seem like you would picture like this super tough guy. But he's just like.
Just badass Hawaiian.
Yeah, and he's been fighting in the UFC since he was like
20.
Was he 20 or was he younger?
He was 20. This dude's about to be 25. He's gonna be 26 on Monday, tomorrow.
Jeez. Yeah.
World champ, 25 years old. It's crazy.
Yeah, I thought he was even a teenager. No, he like basically grew up in the, was basically grown up in the octagon.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff, man.
But I think even beyond that, I mean, I think the. Half people were just talking about his entourage in the ring afterwards. I know that's all Millar was talking about.
Why?
Millar's like, who the hell are these girls in the ring? why doesn't everyone bring these kind of girls in the ring? I'm like, I don't know.
Max Holloway.
Yeah.
He's a champ, man.
Yeah, it's champ life.
Champ life.
But his kid was funny, too, when he did the little dab. That was cool.
His kid's a cool kid.
And I like that. I like that how he doesn't give a shit. He's like, yeah, he just goes out there and he just like, oh, I'm one of the baddest dudes at my weight class around. Hey, I like cupcakes, and I'm gonna bring my little kid in the ring. It was like
he's a wine.
He's,
you know,
just
they
genuine.
Got their own style,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But hopefully they get that UFC Hawaii. It's funny because when he first started saying it was like, because he's not one that naturally has the charisma where he gets the crowd. So he's had some awkward post fight interviews. I think the one with Oliveira, right, where Oliveira dislocated his shoulder or something weird happened, I can't remember, and
yeah,
he basically was like apologized and then said, come on, fuck, give me some respect, you know, blah blah blah, blah, and let's go fight in Hawaii. And it seemed like, all right, well, you're not the draw, you're not a big enough draw to get him to go fight in Hawaii, and the crowd's not really responding, but he seems to have won the crowd. And now when he says like, did you just see me and Yancey fight, like, let's get this UFC Hawaii, you're starting to think, dude, we're going to Hawaii one day for UFC.
You do, yeah,
we're
yes.
We're getting close.
You do feel like we are going to Hawaii for the fight.
I still don't know why we haven't already gone to Hawaii for a fight. I mean, like, it's like a better Vegas minus the
gambling. They should have went when BJ Penn was fighting. But remember, you gotta travel all that stuff.
If they do UFC Hawaii, they should just let BJ walk out to his music and then just stand in the ring for a little bit, and then that should be like that should be the start of the show. And just
they can,
like,
let BJ fight.
Nah,
BJ still fights.
Don't let him fight. Just let him walk out. Let him walk out to his walkout. Because his walkout, I think I went to his GSP fight, and his, like, when the lights are out and that music comes on, it's, and that I really like that song, but that, it's almost like this, like, weird spiritual thing. So if they had him do that, walk out, well, I guess they'd be outdoors in the fucking stadium. But anyway, wait till it's dark, turn all the lights out, let him do that.
You really put some thought into this UFC Hawaii thing, haven't you?
retire his something in the middle of the ring, and then get it going. Everyone would be so amped up. I just play that song.
Dennis,
I play that song in my backyard sometimes.
Dennis, how much thought has this guy put into
a lot?
Like, he put so much thought into UFC Hawaii. He's like, I won't just let him go play his song. Everybody will go crazy, and then he's good.
Dude, his walkout is I think the best walkout experience in MMA. I think because it's just that music is just different. So it's not like rah, and it's not like even like, you know, Forrest Griffin with the da 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 da, whatever the heck that was it, Dropkick,
yeah.
Murphy's
Dropkick, yeah.
But BJ's is just like.
Nope,
slow build up, you know, psychs you up.
What used to be my favorite walkout? Dan Henderson. Made in America. Made in America.
Nah, that doesn't have the same, like,
he's such a good old boy that it's like he has the perfect song. You're like, oh, I love Dan Henderson.
Nah, BJ's, we all have our eyes closed, we got our hands up in the air. It's like the closest I'm getting to going to church.
You love BJ Penn, don't you?
I do. I I always like watching them. Sometimes at home, I just put gloves on and just lick them.
Oh, my God. That was gross, though, right? That was still one of the grossest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was, like, absurd.
Why did that?
Because he's in the moment. The song got him all fucking right. The song just takes you to another takes you to another place. You need to walk out to that. You need to walk. I think it's, what is it, Hawaii 78 or something? You need to walk out to that next time.
That's the name of the song?
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was called, but yeah, I remember being in where was this at? This was Philadelphia when BJ fought Kenny Florian and Anderson Silva fought Forrest Griffin. It was the first time that I had ever been to a UFC. And when BJ walked out, man, cage fighter gear. BJ had a big entourage at the time too.
Yeah.
And that song came on. It was crazy. What is this?
Just let it, just feel it, DC. Let it take you to, let it take you to another place.
Are you guys sure we can even do that?
I paid my $1.99. I'm good. Now the lights are down. Everyone's kind of waving their camera phone lights around. The whole arena's sparkling. He's hitting himself in the forehead with the back of his hands as he walks to the ring. We're good.
You love that.
This is kind of a long intro. You keep talking, and I'll put it back up when we get to the good part.
Okay. No, no, I was there, and I just remember thinking BJ Penn had to be the coolest person I've ever seen. I was like, this dude has to be the coolest person I've ever seen in my life.
I went to a Warriors-Celtics game with him and Rich, and we were sitting on the floor, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden, Paul Pierce walks over and goes, like, Paul Pierce was having a hell of a game, and he goes, oh, shit, I'm out here like fucking BJ Penn. And he starts pretending to, like, box BJ Penn. It was awesome. And BJ just kind of sit there like, oh, shit.
You were happy, weren't you?
Ah, I thought it was great.
You're out of your fucking mind, Nick.
Just getting ready for Mexico.
I mean, hold on. Yeah. Yeah, we got what? We got 36 hours.
Actually, you guys are going back to Mexico.
Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. What time is it now? So it's Sunday at 10. So tomorrow will be 24. I don't know how many hours it'll be. Dennis said we're going back to Mexico, and then he got up and got two more beers.
What are you guys doing in Mexico this time?
We're just goofing off, but it's funny. Usually I go down there and I think, let me get some rest. This will probably be somewhat of a little bender, so let me get some rest. Whereas Dennis, I thought he was kidding, but he starts trying to pickle his liver ahead of time. And then our buddy Brian is always like, oh yeah, I've been drinking Coronas for like the last week just to train. I'm like, what are you guys talking
about?
Fight week. Now the only correlation, I guess, between this and a fight is Dennis is probably going to come back looking like he got in one.
Probably. But it'll be a couple of days recovery.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
Dude, you better be careful.
Oh, I'm careful.
Yeah, we got
a helmet ready to go.
We're trying to figure out if we need a doctor's note for this one. Like, has he been fully given the clearance? Oh, speaking of which, something crazy happened today.
What?
My giant bar of soap from Fulton and Rourke is done.
Run away.
Is done. What? It took this long. It took, I mean, how long has it been? 4 weeks?
It's been a month.
2 showers a day, usually.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
It's been a month.
Yeah.
Just scrubbing
a month long, 2 showers a day, and I got no hair, so I got to use it on my head too. So this is extra coverage. I mean, this thing
in case of a nuclear war, just bring a bar of soap, wash yourself for like 2 months.
This thing is amazing.
So. You guys are fucking stupid.
So
it's the best.
So Bob, I don't know if you remember, we had Bob on. Bob said, "Wait, when are you guys going to Mexico?" Well, you said you were going. And then 5 seconds later, he said, wait, no, I'm not going. But then Bob said he was going. And we texted Bob today, and we said, did you get your ticket yet? And he goes, no, not yet. When is it? So he's got 36 hours. He didn't reply.
He's probably like,
Cassandra, how do you look up flights?
So on Friday, I did the Ultimate Fighter finale. I called the fights, and I went in there with Lauren Murphy.
Oh.
And I said, I was talking to her, interviewed her, asked her a question. When I go to the second question, I go, well, Barb, and I meant the girl she had just beat, Barb Hanchek. She yells at me, my name is Lauren. Because I guess Eddie Alvarez did the same shit on the season.
Oh, shit.
called him by the wrong name, so I felt terrible, man. I'm like, fuck, man.
I saw your tweet where you said, or Instagram,
call whatever you want.
Call me whatever you want. John Jones or Gustafson. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about?
And then I can't apologize to Lauren Murphy enough, man. I was a big supporter of the way that she approached the season. So she was way more lenient on me than she could have been. But, man, again, I just want to apologize to Lauren Murphy for making that mistake. Now, when I talk to people, they're like, dude, you're up there calling fights for 7 hours. You know, you may make a mistake. Don't be too hard on yourself. But I don't like to make mistakes, man, because you truly do become a part of the viewers, like, entertainment and part of the viewers' experience, you know. So
yeah,
to Lauren Murphy, I apologize for that mess up. She fought a tremendous fight and won, and then the new girl, Nico Montano, she became the UFC's flyweight champion the other day, and her and
on TV,
Roxanne Mataferi put a great fight on. It was an unbelievable fight. But how long do you think the line is?
Wait, that happened on TV? Like, what? It happened on TV?
It was on FS1, yeah.
Oh.
How long do you think the line is for girls at 135 and 115 saying, I can either go up to 25 or down to 25 when they see a champion that's 5-2 and just, Montano's a nasty little fighter. But yeah, she's really inexperienced, right? And sometimes it shows. Could you imagine how excited the fighters are at that weight class? So you think of this. You're a fighter. They do a season of this show, and the winner becomes champ. But the girl that was picked 12th is the one that ended up winning it. How would you feel as a Valentina Shevchenko, a Joanna Jędrzejczyk, a Jessica I, you know, those people that can all either go down or go up, Claudia Gadelha. How excited are you if you are any of these females?
Well, you're probably partially pissed that there's a belt that you didn't get to compete for. But then you're stoked because there's an established belt now. So it's not like, I always think it's always weirder when you're in that like fight where it's like for a title, which didn't exist before. It's better to go defeat the champion and become the champion. So at least now
they've set
that up for him.
There was no champion. There was no belt, you know.
Well, now there is.
Yeah, now. So now they have to go fight Nico Montano.
That that Waterson Torres fight was a good fight too.
Was that?
That Waterson, the karate hottie.
Yeah, that was
Tisha
a good
Torres.
Fight. That
Waterson
was
like,
it was a really good fight.
You know, it seems like over the years, it seemed like when women's MMA first came in the UFC, they weren't able to do that much damage to each other, and now they're walking out of there looking just like the guys do, like all damaged.
Yeah, they're better. They're better fighters. You know, everybody's improved, and
yeah,
everybody's improved. You know, the women have gotten so much better. That's why you see some of the older females, the ones that were there and dominant when it first started, they have a lot less success now because everybody's rounded out their game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Waterson took a, I mean, her eye was, she took a lot of punishment, but they're tough. Hold on, Denise wants to say something. Oh, my bad, sorry. I was trying to make DC feel better about his barb comment.
It was horrible, man. It was horrible. I feel really bad about that, but we'll get through it. We'll get through it. Lauren Murphy, she's a good competitor. She's a nice girl, you know, so she kind of got a bad rap on the show, but she's fine, man. Lastly, before I hang up the phone, the Saints today won again, dominated the Panthers. We went to 2-0 on them this year. We're sitting pretty. I mean, if we wouldn't have went and lost to the Rams, we'd be good to go. Like, how are the Rams so good?
I don't know. I'm the Rams are my NFC Super Bowl pick.
Come on.
You know what's? Oh, we should get your picks. We should get your thoughts on this. So, when we're in Mexico, and we'll be at the Wynn Palace Sportsbook and Casino. The only day, because we'll be back on Friday, the only day where there'll be an NFL game is Thursday Night Football, Falcons Saints. What do you think the line should be? Because we want to compare your thoughts when we get there to what the line really is, and if there's a big discrepancy, We might have to bet on
it. I don't really know how to do. I don't know how to really do football. Like, I know it's like.
Well, who do you think's gonna
plus
win?
Plus six, plus seven. I don't really know how to do football. You ask me about fights, I could tell you, but.
All right. Well, who's gonna win? Who's gonna win? Saints or Falcons? Where is it? Where are they? Where are they playing?
Come on, man. New Orleans? Can't ask me. Can't ask me that shit, man.
Is it a home game or a away game?
You gotta figure. I don't know. I'd have to look. Where are they playing? I mean, both teams have been playing well, but the Falcons are coming off of a loss. Saints won a day, so.
Are they gonna? Okay, let's do this. Are the Saints gonna win by a lot or a little?
No, it'll be close.
All right.
Rivalry, man. Big time rivalry.
Isn't it weird that all of a sudden the NFC, it's Philadelphia, the Saints, Minnesota, the Rams. I mean, what it's NFL is crazy. NFL literally, a team can turn around so fast. Well, I guess it hasn't. I guess it's taken some of them 20 years. But
when things start rolling, like when things start rolling,
yeah,
it's over. When things start rolling, like the Saints have started to roll, and now they're just kind of going. Now the one thing about the Rams was like last year they were bad, and then. Now they're really good, you know. So
well, Goff was like Goff seemed like a bust, and now he seems like he's really good. Gurley had a great first year, and then second year wasn't that great. I think NFL more than anything else seems to be coaching. Like the coach can make such a big difference.
Hey, what about that dude the other day though? Left went to Tennessee. Went to what's his name? Hit A&M.
Oh, coach
went to A&M 10 years, $75 million.
Yeah, and the best part
was Jimbo Fisher. How crazy is that?
Well, A&M knows how to get people, you know, when they're at their highest point. I mean, they get the guy has always had Florida State in contention. All of a sudden, he goes 6-6, and Texas A&M's like, ooh, 6-6. You seem to be on the upside of your career.
But someone has underachieved.
Yeah, but like, dude, the highest paid coach. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I don't know anything about college football, though. All I know is. I can tell who's going to be a bust or not. And whatever team that Penn State running back goes to is going to be my new favorite team. Barkley. that's Barry Sanders 2.0.
Man, I'm tired, boys.
Hey, well, listen, you've been a great guest. You've been probably – this is the longest interview we've done. As far as popularity, assholes. You're probably second only to Khabib as guests. You didn't give us much to work with, but
you just talked the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Nick, you're on a roll tonight, bud.
Well, I'm fired up.
You going to fucking Mexico again?
Yeah,
you carry this show, Nick.
You got to get these thoughts out, dude. I mean, the UFC, the last two pay per views has got me. I'm rejuvenated.
They've been good.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I'm gonna come down. I'm gonna come down next.
Guys hit the closing. The closing, Nick.
Hey, we're coming down to do the bike workout. We're gonna have to come do this during your camp.
Come on, come do the bike, man. It'll be fun.
We're coming down to the bike workout. Dennis can take a shower afterwards. I'm not. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, Dennis. That'll be the last shower Dennis ever takes.
I'll never shower
yeah,
again.
Yeah, DC's out of his fight. Why? Someone hit him with this brick of soap. Anyways, all right, cool. I'm glad I missed that week off. I'm glad we're back on. We'll have some good stories to tell next week.
Yeah, good stories, and I'll have more energy.
And maybe a computer if all goes well.
And my computer, yes, I will find it.
All right, awesome.
All right, guys, you want to close it out, Nick?
Actually, we got Julio here. Julio, you want to close it out? You want to do the outro?
I don't even know what the outro is.
Make it up.
We'll make it up. We say thanks. This is Talkin' Talker. Thanks for doing this. Thank our guest, and let's do this.
Well, I thank our guest.
You got to talk a little louder.
Oh, sorry. I'm brand new to this. Hey, wait. DC, what's up, man?
What's up, Julio? I can't believe you're sitting there for the last hour.
Dude, how quiet was
that? Oh, he's been getting some great video. What happened? Doesn't he get music on the outro? No?
No.
Or I ask that every week. Huh? You add it afterwards?
I add it afterwards.
So pretend the song. You want me to put... Here, hold on. I got this.
No, wait. Can you play the BJ Pencil?
Yeah, I'm going to put... I got Hawaii 78 coming again.
Yeah.
See if DC can stay awake through this one. Here we go.
Thank you to our guest, DC, for making a very spiritual experience.
You guys are so stupid.
And tune in next week as we talk Mexico and DC is back. What's he coming back?
DC, you got some Keith Sweat challenge here from Julio.
This is fucking
Julio
crazy.
After Sweat
like Barry White.
Julio after dark.
Julio after fucking dark.
Sweat Hotel.
I was gonna do the
this is a Latin love channel.
Yeah.
All right, boys.
Thank you, Steve.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
All right, DC. See you.
Later.
Later. That's actually pretty good. That our people are in great danger now.